Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, August 2nd, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, 30 young Zimbabweans drawn from different professions converge in Washington, D.C. tomorrow for the Mandela Washington Fellowship three-day summit that will include a town hall meeting which will be hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama.
My name is Munyazi Dodo. I'm the founder of TV Yangu, an African video streaming platform based in Harare, Zimbabwe. I'm one of the 30 fellows who are in America at the moment for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. I'm prepared. I'm very excited to be connecting with all the 500 fellows from different countries.
Human Rights Watch has condemned the continued harassment and arrest of street vendors since the Harare City Council's cleanup campaign, saying it violates their rights as enshrined in the new constitution.
To begin with, the enforcement of city council bylaws should not be done outside the framework of the law. So the police should not beat up people, should not confiscate or seize their goods, should not burn their property. They must enforce the bylaws in accordance with the law of the land.
Former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says People First, a grouping of fired former ZANU-PF members, strongly condemns the abduction of Itai Dzamara as it is not in line with the ideals of the liberation struggle.
We condemn in the strongest terms these so-called abductions, intimidation, arrestment and so on. That is not the way we want to operate. Obviously, we are still concerned about this.
And as usual, we'll give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Young Zimbabweans drawn from different professions will converge in Washington, D.C. tomorrow for the Mandela Washington Fellowship three-day summit that will include a town hall meeting which will be hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama. 500 fellows were selected from Africa and were in the United States for the past 6 weeks in different states. The summit will start with an investment seminar on Monday entitled Congressional Forum on Investing in the Next Generation of Africa. This will be followed by a town hall meeting on Tuesday and a closing ceremony on Wednesday. I caught up with one of the fellows to give us his take on the issue.
My name is Munyazi Dodo. I'm the founder of TV Yangu, an African video streaming platform based in Harare, Zimbabwe. I'm one of the 30 fellows who are in America at the moment for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. I'm prepared. I'm very excited to be connecting with all the 500 fellows from different countries. I myself have been in Atlanta with fellows from 17 different countries. So we're looking forward to connecting with everyone. The summit has lined up some meetups, some breakout sessions with focusing on different industries. So I'm looking forward to those, and I'm obviously looking forward to hearing from President Barack Obama and meeting everyone else in Washington, D.C.
What would you like to ask President Barack Obama if you ever got the chance?
America has been investing a lot in Africa, and last year they said that they've availed $50 million or $50 billion for the Power Africa project. I just want to know where that project is in light of all the deficit in electricity that we're experiencing right now in Zimbabwe and in the rest of Africa, because quite frankly, business cannot run without electricity. And I'm also hoping to ask him when the Zimbabwe sections will be removed, because those are a hindrance to development. And despite the fact that they are targeted, the perception amongst business people in America is that the whole country is under sanctions.
How do sanctions affect you as young Zimbabweans, even after you gain your experience here and you have to practice when you get back home?
It affects us in the way that when you're trying to build a relationship with a country that has a government that has put you under sanctions, it then becomes very difficult to operate, because the perception amongst the business community is that Zimbabwe is under sanctions. So the businesses will then refuse to deal with you. They'll prefer going to Kenya or South Africa, where the environment, where the governments have a better relation, because that sets the precedent for the environment. So businesses tend to shun Zimbabwe because of that, because they just hear the word sanctions and then they shut down.
On a lighter note, we've seen Zimbabwe becoming one of the most popular countries or destinations following the death, may his soul rest in peace, of Cecil the Lion. How has that publicity, which has really been trending on all social media and also on the electronic media, how has that benefited you as young Zimbabweans that are here in America at that particular time?
It put Zimbabwe on the spotlight, really. I think a lot of people have been asking me if I know Cecil, and I was like, no, I don't know Cecil personally. Actually, I've never heard of Cecil prior to this whole incident. But I think it's good for Zimbabwean tourism. It put us on the map. And I think a lot of people are now very interested in coming to Zimbabwe and learning more about conservation, how we take care of our animals and stuff. So I think it's a good thing, and I think it's a chance for Zimbabwe Tourism Authority to a stronger stance or to tweak their advertising campaign or marketing campaigns and leverage off this publicity.
How can they leverage off this publicity?
I think they could have a better, quicker turnaround time. I think especially with the hashtag, they could hijack the hashtag, incorporate the hashtag in their publicity. And I think they should have more people on social media talking about what's happening in Zimbabwe, sharing pictures of Odwange. I think it's nice to have all these conferences like Sanganai, Shanganani, but the real tourists are the ones who are on Twitter, on Facebook, talking about this. So you need to engage them on a personal level and not just adopt a traditional model of going to conferences, setting up conferences, or attending workshops. That's not where the tourists come from. The tourists are the ones who are loving Cecil, who are advocating for Cecil the Lion right now.
That was Zimbabwean Mandela Washington Fellow Munyaradzi Dodo of TV Yangu, speaking from Atlanta, Georgia, before joining other fellows in the United States capital of Washington. Human Rights Watch has condemned the continued harassment of street vendors since the Harare City Council's cleanup campaign, saying it violates their rights as enshrined in the new constitution. Dewa Mavinga of Human Rights Watch tells us more.
As Human Rights Watch, we are saying, on the basis of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, the treatment of Harare street vendors is a violation of their basic rights, and that municipal police and national police should cease this mistreatment of vendors, should ensure that there is respect of the rule of law in the manner in which they deal with their street vendors.
How do you see this being enforced? The council itself is saying there are bylaws that have to be followed.
To begin with, the enforcement of city council bylaws should not be done outside the framework of the law. So the police should not beat up people, should not confiscate or seize their goods, should not burn their property. They must enforce the bylaws in accordance with the law of the land. And secondly, this is a much bigger problem because Zimbabwe has 72% of people living on less than $1.25 a day, which is below the poverty bottom line. What it means is that it's a massive problem which requires dialogue and consultation. And these vendors have their own leadership, which leadership is being persecuted and harassed at the moment. So there is need to engage, consult this leadership and come up with a workable and viable solution. And also, the government of Zimbabwe should stop pointing fingers and stop pretending that there is America or Britain behind or sponsoring the vendors. This is a massive problem which is coming out of, you know, bad governance, a collapsed economy, and the lack of a formal sector. So everyone now is a vendor. So government must accept that reality and develop immediately viable plans that respect the rights of people and empower these vendors, many of whom are women who live in extreme poverty.
That was Dewa Mavinga of Human Rights Watch in South Africa. Former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says people first. A grouping of fired former ZANU-PF members strongly condemns the abduction of Itai Dzamara, as this is not in line with the ideals of the liberation struggle. Dzamara was abducted over 4 months ago and has been missing ever since. Gumbo speaks to Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
Like any new movement, there may be a different perception of what is supposed to be done. Yes, people can say there are lots of contradictory statements made by certain individuals who seem to be doing what is. What do you have to bear in mind that we also have infiltrators who are pushing for a certain agenda, you know, like the call for immediate reforming of the political parties. This is actually really coming from the old ZANU-PF, people who are enrolled in ZANU-PF. Some of the people who may be making some of these comments are not genuinely people first, but they are sponsored. They have a hidden agenda. But that may, what I want to say is that, yes, coordination comes with time. It's a process. People begin to understand where we stand, what we want to achieve.
Then we come to the issue of Itai Dzamara's disappearance. What's your take on all this?
We condemn in the strongest terms these so-called abductions, intimidation, arrest, harassment, and so on. That is not the way we want to operate. Obviously, we are still concerned about the disappearance of Itai Dzamara. We don't think that is a thing which would be accepted in a civilized society like Zimbabwe. In a liberated country like Zimbabwe, people must bear in mind that we achieved our independence through the battle of the gun, through fighting. And we need to normalize those things.
That was former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940, and 15455 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Sydney Chisi, who is the director of the Youth Initiative for Democracy. Sydney, thank you so much for joining me on the program.
Thank you very much, Tatenda. How are you?
I'm doing well. And of course, we're chatting on the heels of so much buzz and talk about, you know, these young African leaders, in particular, the young Zimbabweans. And then even last week, we saw some young entrepreneurs in Zimbabwe attending the Global Economic Summit where Barack Obama was in Kenya. Let's talk about these programs. How vital are they to young Africans and young Zimbabweans?
Thank you very much, Atenda. I think the YALI program and the format of its design is one of the best things that can happen to emerging African leaders, but also it's one program that would help in terms of emerging democracies because of its fundamental that is centered around young people. How do you make sure that they fit in into the global market? How do you make sure that they fit in into the global politics? How do you make sure that they respond to those socioeconomic and political challenges that are embedded within their countries? So it's a wholesome project that exposes young people to functioning democracies, like if you look at the democracy of the United States, but also not only that, you're also going into a country which has got rich history in terms of being where they are right now economically, politically, and or otherwise. So it would expose young people to different fundamentals that they would expect, and I underline the word expect, to implement or copy when they come back home. Sadly, which I think is your question, is that upon returning to Zimbabwe, they are coming back to a country which is in the reverse gear.
Now, of course, you read my mind there, but let's just tail back. This might be a no-brainer question, but why young people?
I think we have had problems with the older generation. In terms of accepting change and also in terms of them looking beyond themselves and grooming and having from young people and ensure that you groom them for the future. Basically, it's trying to remove that mentality of saying, "Takaenda kuhondo tikanokurwa, we died for this country." Can we begin to have a new narrative of saying, we went out, we saw, and we also want things that we saw to be part and parcel of our developing economy, of our developing nation. I mean, you go to certain countries that 10 years ago used to be very poor. Go to Rwanda and see the significance of infrastructure that is emerging from that country. Go to countries like Uganda, which at one point around 1994, it was almost like an extension of a village or in a country. But this time around, they really developed their ICT and all those things. In Zimbabwe, it's either it is stagnant or it's reversing back.
So is it a question that, you know, every young person that is groomed or taken for these programs are kind of being dropped into this part in hopes that, you know, the soup will be ready at some moment?
At one moment, yeah. At some moment, we are going to benefit a lot from this group of young people that are going out. What we just need to do is that, as Zimbabweans, can we create such a conducive environment that the talents and the skills that they are gaining when they are coming to the United States, they'll be able to utilize it at some point. So what I can actually say is that it is a door that is in the oven just waiting for electricity to come back. Okay, fine, being Zimbabwean, waiting for electricity to come back.
And of course, Sydney, you are on the ground. You know, are you seeing some of these initiatives from, you know, these young Zimbabweans? Are you able to kind of see what these guys are doing? Or is it a question of, you know, we are praising them and then when it gets back to Zim, we're kind of not seeing them?
Not really. One of the things I think is basically on the fact that when they come back, they are dispersed. If the American Embassy Public Affairs section does not bring them back together to say, so what have you done ever since you left? Then we might not hear of what they have done. Also, most of them are going into sectors to which either they are subordinates and things like that, so they are not really shouting out what they are doing in terms of their corridors because they are moderated and controlled by the systems where they are working. But I know that there are young people who have really tried to begin some initiatives on protection of the girl child. I've seen young people who have tried to do work around entrepreneurship. Sadly, the economy has played the negative impact.
So what's next? You know, we have these young leaders, you know, who are going different places, who are in very varying sectors, who are getting this training, this leadership training.
I'm sure these young people should remain very patient. They should continue. They should put what they have learned into SF. Lock it up, right? If you have got an opportunity of begin to use it and utilize it to expand your knowledge and things like that, then good enough. But if you realize that the environment is not so conducive, lock it up and one day you will find the need of finding that key and unlock it and celebrate greatness.
Sydney, at that point, I want to say thank you so very much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. Thank you so much.
That was Sydney Chisi, director of the Youth Initiative for Democracy and also a Young African Leaders Initiative 2010 alumni. I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next time.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. 30 young Zimbabweans drawn from different professions converge in Washington, D.C. tomorrow for the Mandela Washington Fellowship three-day summit that will include a town hall meeting which will be hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, August the 2nd, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.